This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow. The thrill of victory, the agony of defeat. Sports hold a special significance in American society, and professional sports make up a multi-billion dollar industry in the U.S. But what happens to those athletes who don't appear on SportsCenter? What do their experiences tell us about American culture? A new radio documentary entitled Contested focuses on the role sports plays in American society through the lens of the experiences of several young athletes in Durham. The documentary will air during this hour on Monday. Creator John B. Wynn joins us now to preview the piece. John directs the audio program at the Center for Documentary Studies at Duke. Welcome back, John.
Good to be here, Frank.
Also, co-creator Al Letson is the host and executive producer of State of the Reunion. Welcome, Al.
Hello, hello.
John, let me start with you. How did you tell us about the concept and how you came up with this idea?
You know, I can't remember.
So
really, genuinely, I can't remember. But somehow, you know, I got to thinking about I'm a fan. I grew up playing all kinds of sports, and I you know, for years have been doing reporting and documentary work that sort of looks at the fault lines in American society, class, race, and that kind of thing. And at a certain point, it just occurred to me, what if we put these two interests together and sort of looked at sports through the lens of the kinds of, you know, sort of public radio-y kinds of things, like, right, you know, inequality or you know, right. Some of the differences of opportunity that people have, and tell different kinds of sports stories than we usually hear in the media.
Well, and those sports stories, and again, now especially with college athletics in the news, so much so here because of UNC, and you know, it's in the headlines these days. We hear about scholarships, and we sort of automatically think about basketball, and we think about minority students receiving scholarships. But in fact, what you found is those scholarships don't all go, not even mostly, to kids in need.
Right. The highest profile sports that are on TV all the time, those are sports in which African Americans are dominant, basketball especially, and football to a large extent. But 2/3 of all athletic scholarships, college athletic scholarships, are in sports other than those sports. So baseball, soccer, lacrosse, tennis, golf, swimming. And just think about the demographics of who, by and large, is playing those sports. Obviously, women's sports in general get half the money, roughly. So you soon get a picture of people. And a lot of those sports, it's not only that they are played predominantly by white folks, but that a lot of them, it costs a lot of money to even be any sort of serious participant in a lot of those sports at the youth level. So that the sports scholarships are, you know, they're going oftentimes to people who are upper middle class.
You didn't get that scholarship if you didn't have a lot of money to begin with, or somebody in the family to keep you going and keep you in lessons and all of that, much less have the time for one parent or the other to take you at 4 o'clock in the morning to your, you know, skating
right.
lessons.
Right. And people will point out, well, but those sports, the ones that actually have a chance to be lucrative, are those high-profile money sports, football. True, but the number of people who are actually making it to the fame and fortune of the NFL and the NBA is almost like winning the lottery. It's a tiny group of people.
Al, what was the biggest surprise for you and for you when you thought about this project and putting it together? What's behind that, and why is this project important to you?
Well, the biggest surprise for me was actually coming to the Raleigh-Durham area, and all the basketball players at the Duke game knew John B. Wynn and said that he was a baller. That really surprised me.
That surprises me, too, Al. This is the first I've heard of it. Yeah.
Now, can I just clarify one thing? When he says the Duke game, he means the rec center at noon over at Wilson Center.
Oh, that Duke.
Which I used to play in.
Yeah. Yes, which, like, everybody there was like, John! Like yeah. Literally. And while John was actually doing work, I was talking to some of the guys, and they were just like, John B. Wynn is the joint. He's really good.
All right, so your second biggest surprise, Al?
Second biggest surprise was just what you guys were just talking about, though. You know, I love sports. I love, you know, pretty much if there's a ball and people playing and it's on TV, I'll watch it at some point. But yeah, I think, you know, I kind of just thought the myth was true that, you know, when you talk about sports and scholarships, that most of it was going to people that are coming out of poor circumstances. So, you know, when John started talking to me about that, I was really interested. Also, you know, I say I'm a big sports person, you know, I watch stuff on TV, but I don't know much about lacrosse at all. And so, you know, when John started talking about the story that he had with the young man who plays lacrosse, that really interested me because I was curious about it. So, yeah, I think that was the biggest surprise.
John, actually, you profile three athletes in this documentary. Tell us about them.
Yeah, so... Excuse me. The person Al was referring to is a young man named Thomas Schmidt, who's a lacrosse star, plays for Durham Jordan High School, and is headed off to Boston University on a lacrosse scholarship. Nice kid, great family. He's worked his tail off to get as good as he is at that game. He's one of the best, if not the best, lacrosse player in the state of North Carolina. Unfortunately, he got injured and missed his whole senior season, which is just going on right now. They're still in the playoffs. But what I was, you know, the thing that struck me about that family was the amount of investment that his parents had to make financially, in addition to the enormous amount of sweat and blood that he's put in for years. And the personal trainer, the multiple traveling teams, recruitment camps, contract with a company that helps to develop players and promote them to college. And they felt that was necessary in part because North Carolina is not a traditional lacrosse hotbed at the high school level. And so in order to be seen by coaches in that kind of Northeast corridor, they had to take extraordinary measures. But it's representative of a larger trend, which is, you know, when I was a kid in the 80s, 70s, if you were the best player in your, you know, you might go to a week-long basketball camp in the off season, but it was pretty much school sports and working out and, you know, and playing in the off season in the gym or the sand lots, and the best players went on. But now it's increasingly about specialization, working your tail off year round, being on a bunch of teams, and those things are really expensive. And in order to compete, especially as we already indicated, you know, in a lot of these sports, you basically have to do that or forget it. So the Thomas Schmidt story kind of illustrates that. And then another story is about a single African-American mom in East Durham, Latoya Taylor, and her two younger sons who play football for the Durham Eagles, which is a wonderful program made up mostly of lower-income families in East Durham, Pop Warner football. And it is all Latoya can do to come up with the $250 for her two kids to play a season. And she actually makes pretty dramatic sacrifices in order to do that. So it just kind of, you know, those two stories are sort of told alongside each other. The third story is about Callie Scher, who is a senior also at Jordan, and she's a soccer player, and she's a rabid fan as well as an athlete in numerous sports as she's been growing up. And she's a pretty keen observer of how gender works in the world of sports, both in sort of on the ground, say in the culture of her high school, and in the news media, where it is still overwhelmingly a man's world.
Al, there's also the documentary features a roundtable panel, and they'll talk about the role of sports in society. What's the biggest takeaway from that conversation?
You know, I think probably the biggest takeaway for me in that conversation was that even if these kids are not getting the scholarships, or if the kids on these teams, so few of them actually get to go to pros, the sports programs, the people that we were talking to, they believe that the sports programs help, that they do, like, you know, help these kids that are in poor circumstances or kids that have middle class upbringings. It teaches them a lot. It gives them a lot. So, you know, I was surprised on one hand that, you know, a lot of that the people who are less fortunate, who don't have that kind of money, aren't really being helped by these sports programs as far as scholarships are concerned. But what these programs do give these kids, a sense of community, of discipline and all that, that may be just as important.
You know, the other interesting thing that we don't talk about sort of overtly but is implicit in all of this is this weird thing we do in the United States which has used college as an incubator for athletics where they don't do that anywhere else in the world. If you want to get into sports, you get into some junior A program and you don't even go to college. And here we think that college is a place where you can do both and, of course, often run afoul of one or the other, right, John?
Well, that's right. And I think in one of the things that we try to suggest in this documentary, because we're looking at high school on down, is that even before you get to college, that there is this issue. And there are people, for instance, who have suggested maybe we ought to do away with high school sports because even that is rare, right? In a lot of countries, there's a club sports programs for teenage kids as well, and it's not all wrapped up into the business of the school. Mm. Now, I don't know. I'm not advocating that, but it is an interesting point that we are unusual in having sports at the center of our educational system, both at the high school and college level.
Great documentary, and nice to get a preview. I want to thank both of you for being on the program. John Biewen directs the audio program at the Center for Documentary Studies at Duke. Thank you, John.
Pleasure to be here, Al.
Al Edson is the host of it's a pleasure to talk to all of you. I know you're happy to talk to Al as well, who thinks you're the greatest basketball player ever.
What is your name over there anyway?
You can call me Al.
I knew there was an Al around here somewhere.
You can call me Al, as the songwriter said. Al Edson is actually the host of the State of the Reunion, but soon the host of the State of Things. Why not, Al? You're halfway there, buddy. You can make it all the way. Al, thank you for talking with us.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
It's a pleasure. This is The State of Things. Good to have you on the show. Just ahead, author Corbin Addison explores sub-Saharan Africa. The State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill.